line. Not a chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to figure out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab.
Secret Truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
This is George Butler. Just a few words before we begin the program tonight. We're replaying a program that goes back several years with Bill Hendon, okay? And he's the author of a book called An Enormous Crime. And what's interesting about this is Memorial Day weekend, which is next Monday. This is Saturday night, May 27th. And we're doing a memorial broadcast here to commemorate our fallen soldiers and veterans and their families. This morning we participated in a William B. Travis High School Memorial Service, and came off real well. We did the filming out there, and so we want to thank each and every one of all the people that showed up at the William B. Travis Memorial Service this morning. Rosemary and Charles Grant did a superb job in organizing that. And we had some really, really fine speakers. If you go to the liveonlocation.tv in a few days, about a week, you'll find the video there and the program and who spoke and everything. But getting back to this program tonight is that we did 2 hours with Bill Hendon years ago. And he's the author of An Enormous Crime. And this is about the POW question. And which it was never sufficiently addressed for all of those families, the POW families that lost their loved ones in Vietnam. At the time, in 1992, I had occasion to go out to Camp Mabry, and a Captain Eugene Red McDaniel spoke to us at that event that night, at that meeting. And it was about the POW question. In fact, Captain McDaniel, Eugene Red McDaniel, had been in the Hanoi Hilton at the same time that John McCain was there. So, anyway, his story is that at the time, in 1992, John Kerry and John McCain were headed up a special senatorial investigation committee on the concerning the POW question. And so Bill Hendon had been the counsel to that that committee, and his conclusion at the end of the committee, let's get back to Eugene Red McDaniel. He was visiting here and gave a speech, and which I attended in 1992 at Camp Mabry. This is in Austin, Texas. And he told us at the time that he was anticipating, because of this committee headed up by John Kerry and John McCain, that they would start bringing home the remaining POWs. At the secret Paris Peace Treaty Conference in Paris, Kissinger had struck a special agreement with the North Vietnamese at that time to release all of the POWs, but it was going to cost us $2 to $3 billion. And Congress, since the time of the end of the Vietnam War, never allocated that money to have those remaining POWs released. They released some, but they did not release all. So administration after administration refused to allocate, and Congress after Congress refused to allocate the money necessary to release all of our POWs. That's why you had the organizations that sprang up. And also, many of the POW family members lobbied very, very strongly Congress for years. In fact, Captain Eugene Red McDaniel founded a foundation and lobbied Congress very, very strongly to resolve the POW question. But in 1992, we heard Captain Red McDaniel, it was August, I remember it vividly, and he said next month, meaning September, John Kerry and John McCain would begin to bring our POWs home. Well, I watched very carefully those committee hearings with Kissinger and others, and they swept it all under the carpet. So John Kerry and John McCain totally turned their back on our remaining POWs. And as a result, Bill Hinton got so mad, because he was right there being the counsel to that committee, that he wrote a book called entitled An Enormous Crime. And so I got hold of that book and a knowledge of it. And these veterans are dear to my heart. I'm a veteran myself. Charlotte Littlefield Brown is also a veteran. And we care about the vets and the veterans that had given their all for this country. And we felt like they got really done very dirty on the POW question. They still didn't bring them home. They turned their back and they swept it under the carpet. And John Kerry and John McCain are both responsible for that. And anyway, in this interview coming up, we have two portions of this. Each portion is about 39 to 40 minutes long on this first hour. And then the second hour will begin with the same, about a 39, 40 minute portion also. After the second hour, I'll make some comments at the very end, and we'll do some closing remarks at that time. This country is very, very much in trouble. It's been taken over by international financiers, and it's not getting any better. They've been able, like George Soros and others, have been able to divide the liberals against the conservatives, the Democrats against the Republicans. And this assault that's taking place on Trump now is unprecedented. And it's getting more serious every day. And I hope and pray that some way that he can survive these attacks and start cleaning house. I'm not optimistic about this. When we talk about the deep state, we're talking about the intelligence agencies that have grown proportionate in immense size since 9/11. And if you look at 9/11 and try to isolate what has happened since 9/11, the country has gone to the dogs since. The one Patriot Act after another and like-minded types of acts have destroyed this country and the freedoms and liberties that we used to possess. The national, this and the national that. I mean, you get so sick and tired. And the public out there, the public is beginning to wake up. And I think that's what hit a nerve when Bannon took over and started strategizing President Trump's campaign. Before he was finally elected, he began to hit on what we have always classified as patriot issues. And there's a great reservoir of patriots out there in America. And I believe that's what the patriot movement did. It rose up, and this cut across all ethnic lines and political lines this time. There were friends that I knew that were Democrats, but they said because of Hillary being backed by BlackRock and the biggest investment and biggest money in the world, you know, that they had to vote for Trump. The big money backing Hillary was a signal and a red flag not to put her in the White House. So as a result, that was just one consideration, but there were many. But they touched the nerve of patriots that were sick and tired of this corrupt government in Washington. Today, in front of the flagpole area, there was a monument and some very, very dedicated people, many of that were former graduates of William B. Travis High School. And I did participate on a very small part in helping get that monument up. And this is the third memorial that I've actually filmed. But we must try to awaken to this very, very corrupt Congress and political system that we have been seduced into. It didn't just all of a sudden happen in the last few weeks or few months or even several years. This America has been debased over a number of decades since the 1913 Federal Reserve Act. The monopoly of the money creation has been one of the most systematic evil acts ever created in this country. Ron Paul, we jumped on the bandwagon, Charlotte Littlefield Brown and I did, because Ron Paul, he had goals like in the Fed. They were never going to let him in the White House, in that door. Now, Trump is not quite a Ron Paul. And this is where we're seeing now that the pressures that are being applied and the initial White House staff and some cabinet members that are virtually surrounding Trump are influencing him to some neocon types of acts and strategies and programs. And we just don't feel that the people that voted for Trump, and I don't feel at all that he's beginning to carry out. He did initially. President Trump did initially do some very, very good things. And behind the scenes, because the press is anti-Trump, they're not going to be advertising or writing about any good deeds that he has done. He's going after the pedophile community out there. He killed off the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which was a very big biggie in my opinion. So he has accomplished certain things that the press is not going to give him credit for, because he tells them, he says, look, you know, the media, you just like prostitutes almost. I don't think he's used that term, but he's called them, you know, called them names, and boy, they don't like that at all. And the problem out there with the media and the press is that they put them through these big schools and colleges, you know, and they come out with these big, you know, bachelors of this and masters of this and doctorals, and they put these big robes on them and they prance across the stage for a graduation, and they really think that they know something, you know. But all they've been doing is just conditioning them into a state of controlled, you know. And the control is the system. And the system is mammon-based and money-based and international financier-based. So what do we have? We have them directing our politicians in Congress and dominating them with blackmail schemes. I've interviewed this D.C. madam on a book, and I've replayed it a few times. And this man, on this case, he preceded the one that died, okay, a few years ago. But this D.C. madam was a man that was running a call boy service. And he was servicing some of the biggest names in Washington, D.C. And he finally, because he was they were trying to force him to provide underage children, young boys. And he drew a line then and wouldn't do that. Well, as a result, he winds up with two prison terms, see. And so the same types of top people, the elitist at the very top, they're into these kinds of pedophilia and some of the really satanic rituals, and that they are really into some horrible esoteric and practices, Luciferianism, Satanism, and as a result, they are lost. Their souls have been lost. I preach a lot about forgiveness on here, and that's my solution. But it's evolved and the country has been so attacked by enemies, spiritual and physical and financial and so forth, that it's been debased over a number of decades. And this debasement has created a very, very immoral American public. The people that attended that memorial at William B. Travis this morning with me and others, they're really fine people. And I started looking on our monument that we put up there. And they were mainly Hispanic names on. So the Hispanics, especially from William B. Travis, I applaud them and I respect them for the sacrifices that they made. But back then, when they were drafting for Vietnam, it was mostly single people. And it was people that were not in school. So many of your minorities fell into a category of being drafted and sent to Vietnam. And in my opinion, that's probably one of the reasons, main reasons, that you see on that monument primarily Hispanic names. I honor and respect them in their sacrifices. And I had a conversation with a woman. They lost her dad. And I said to that woman, I said, Charlotte Littlefield Brown and I were up in 2007 on Veterans Day in front of the wall that your father's name is on. And I said, we were there and we interviewed widows and we interviewed veterans that had survived the Vietnam War and relatives and so forth. And I said, I respect your dad and what he gave his all for this country. And she was just flabbergasted almost to ever hear a story like that. But this woman was very, very sincere, lost her dad. And, you know, it was a sad moment, but we did it with respect. The people, Rosemary and others and Charles and them, they got together, they got a committee, pulled some money together, and they did this memorial in the right way. And so, again, I just want to thank everyone that attended that memorial service this morning. And stay tuned in for this first half of this Bill Hendon, okay, story, which was an enormous crime. And he blows wide open. The government's been lying to us. John Kerry and John McCain both have lied to us about what really went on over there concerning the POWs. And our government has just been liars about this. There's no two ways about it. And there's really no good guys here. But anyway, pay close attention to what Bill Hendon says. And we're joined later on in the second hour by one of the founders of Rolling Thunder. And they have a very raucous and a very, very insightful conversation before we end that totally. So anyway, I want to thank each and every one of you and for listening and supporting this broadcast. Okay.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm your host, George Butler. Charlotte Littlefield Brown is still on vacation. We've got a fine guest coming up in just a few minutes here. His name is Bill Hendon. But first, let me do a little housekeeping here. If you go into thesecrettruth.com, you'll find a click-off there right in the center. It says, Help Send Charlotte and George to Cover the Ron Paul Revolution at the GOP National Convention. Go ahead and check that out, and if you'd like to help us and contribute in any way and any amount possible, go in there and click in on that and help us get to Minnesota. We're not only going to go to the Ron Paul counter-revolution there, but we're credential reporters to go to the GOP too. So we're gonna saddle and stride both of those different conventions. My guest tonight has done an enormous job and a very dedicated on a very dedicated mission for this country. He wrote, along with Elizabeth Stewart, a book entitled An Enormous Crime. and it exposes a scandalous betrayal by successive governments, including the last seven, I believe, is what it computes out at, and of not bringing our POWs home and really turning our back on those people. Welcome to our program, Bill Hendon.
Thank you, George. I'm honored to be with you, sir.
Boy, you're honored. I'm more honored than you are to have you with me. You're a fine gentleman and a fine citizen of this country.
Well, thank you for your great work up there.
And anyway, your book is a marvelous work and is highly documented and so forth. Tell us a little bit about your background, Bill.
Well, I went to Congress with Ronald Reagan in 1980. If you remember, in 1979, we had a hostage crisis in the Middle East and in Iran, and the gas prices went through the ceiling. Jimmy Carter turned our country into just a laughing stock around the world, and here came Ronald Reagan and a whole bunch of guys, I'm proud to say, like him, and we took over the U.S. Senate. We got Reagan elected. We got 52 new House seats. I was one of them. And it was a glorious time. We just, we won the Cold War. We cut taxes. We got the economy back together. He was a great man, and it was a great time, George.
So there was a new beginning there, right? But what did you say, unfortunately what?
Unfortunately, we found out right after we got to town that a whole bunch of our, I mean, like hundreds, Henry Kissinger had left hundreds of American pilots and soldiers in prison when he came up with that great Peace with Honor deal in 1973 to end the war in Vietnam. And all these boat people and radio intercepts and satellite images were coming out of Indochina where our men were begging to be rescued. And thank God Ronald Reagan was there. And we almost rescued some guys early on, and then it got very bureaucratic, and a lot of people were telling Reagan, oh, my God, you came to town, Mr. President, on the hostage crisis in Iran, and here this thing is getting to be another hostage crisis, and just leave those men. And, of course, Reagan wouldn't have any part of that. We were all up on Capitol Hill saying, let Reagan be Reagan. You remember that, George?
Yes, yes. on July the 9th, didn't Caspar Weinberger talk to the POW/MIA family members that were gathered there and said, we're going to bring those men home, those POWs home?
Sure.
Promise that?
In 1982, it's in the book. He said, sure, they're there. Everybody knows they're there. And everybody knows they're still there. But it's been a – nobody wants another hostage crisis, George, okay? And it's just poison in this town. And a bunch of the people who weren't Reaganites talked the president into doing some other things, and it just didn't work. But the men still put their names down in the prison yards, and the satellites pick them up. That's what this book's about. Imagine in 1992, on the 5th of June, them reading the satellite image of a guy's name, a missing pilot's name in a prison yard, and a secret code that could only be another man who's missing, a missing pilot, and, oh, man, and they just say, well, there's nothing in any of this, and they just walk off and leave them. But the men are still alive. We're sure of that. They want to come home, and we just pray for them all the time, and we work as hard as we can to get them out.
Yes, you along with other men, I've talked to Captain Red McDaniel before.
What a great American he is. I used to work with him, and he and I, we worked together for a long time back in the 80s, and he was one of the most tortured and one of the most heroic of the prisoners that came home. Most of the guys that came home, including John McCain, unfortunately, don't believe there's anybody there, and in fact, McCain has worked very hard to stop what McDaniel and I and others have done to try to get him out. But
that's crazy, isn't it? I mean, why does he do that?
You'd have to ask him, but there's no question when he reads a man's name in a prison yard and says, "Oops, I don't see it anymore. Where? I can't read his name in the satellite image. I mean, come on." On the cover,
didn't they actually disappear some things and falsify some satellite images?
Oh, sure. sure they falsified them. They photoshopped them. If you look on the cover of the book, I'm not here to sell books, and you aren't either. But
oh, give us your site, by the way. Tell us the site that we can come
well,
in.
I tell you, a great place to go is Amazon.com, and just look up An Enormous Crime or Bill Hendon and Elizabeth Stewart, and it'll take you over. I was looking today. The book's doing good. It's like number 21 in sales in Vietnam War category. But if you look on the cover of it, you can just go on your computer and look. You don't have to buy it. Go to the library and read it for free. But, I mean, there's a satellite image on the cover of the book, and it's got this huge USA in a rice paddy in Laos. And the USA, the letters are 12 feet tall and stretch 37 feet across the rice paddy. And right underneath it, again, you can see it on Amazon.com right now or on EnormousCrime.com, which is our website. Right under the USA is this huge escape and evasion symbol. It's like 27 feet tall and like, I think, 24 feet across that only American pilots could have put down in this rice paddy. And John McCain says that the explanation for this is that some little kid copied it off of an envelope that he got from a friend in the United States. Now, why would a kid go out in a rice paddy in 1988 and dig out 37 feet, reading USA, and build an escape and evasion code that is secret? It is known only to American pilots. The satellite picked it up. I mean, these people will do anything to deny the existence of these men. Why they do it, I don't know. I think it's because, George, they don't want another hostage crisis.
Yeah, but those men are still there and suffering at the hand of their, of these guards, and there have been reports where they were beaten in front of the public and everything else. Still,
well, I tell you what they're doing. They're keeping them alive. They feed them Western food. They keep them in underground prisons, and these very sophisticated underground prisons in Vietnam, not so sophisticated in Laos. But they're keeping them alive. Because they believe they have value.
Okay, we got to cut away real quick, Bill, but we'll be right back. We'll continue right there. Back. Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. My guest this evening is Bill Hendon. Welcome back, Bill.
Thanks, George. Great to be with you from the murder capital of America, Washington, D.C.
Okay. Boy, that is. And they really used to have a strong gun law, right?
Well, they still do because the bureaucrats downtown are not going to let anybody really change things.
I know the registration, they put a lot of provisos in there on you can have one, but it requires this, and this, right?
Well, you can't have a semi-automatic. You have to have a revolver and all this stuff.
You.
And the criminals are just running the streets. I mean, some poor guy I heard on the news just a few minutes ago, his car broke down over, and he got out, and he just killed him right in the street. He was just asking for some mechanical help. Maybe it was a flat tire or something. It's just disgraceful.
It is. Let me describe this book a little bit more for just a second, then we'll move on to some of the POWs.
Right.
This book, An Enormous Crime, is nothing less than shocking. Based on thousands of pages of public and previously classified documents, it makes an utterly convincing case that when the American government withdrew its forces from Vietnam, it knowingly abandoned hundreds of POWs to their fate. The product of 25 years of research by former Congressman Bill Hendon, that's you, and attorney Elizabeth A. Stewart, Enormous Crime brilliantly exposes the reasons why these American soldiers and airmen were held back by the North Vietnamese at Operation Homecoming in 1973 and what these men have endured since.
It's rough. It's rough, man. I mean, Henry Kissinger walked off and left them. And he's up in New York right now eating steak and baked potato and a nice, dinner. with wine.
Well, you know how I got on to this? I came late to this. And you were working on it decades before I even woke up on this. And I'm not a Vietnam veteran, but I served in the Army in Germany during that period, 63, 64.
I'm not a Vietnam veteran. You don't have to be a Vietnam veteran to see a guy's name in a rice paddy and feel sympathy for him and demand that the government go get him home.
Exactly. Well, this is an issue for all of us, that's for sure.
Sure.
I've just started explaining a little bit of my own background.
No, I appreciate it, George.
Yeah, in 1992, I was invited out to a camp, a local Army camp here, and Captain Red McDaniel spoke.
Great guy.
And we signed H. Ross Perot's birthday card, and Captain Red McDaniel said, "I'm very optimistic," and this was like in August of 92. He said,
right.
"Next month they're going to hold a hearing." I guess that's the hearing y'all were at, right?
Well.
In 92, one of the hearings?
I was an intelligence investigator assigned to that committee, and
yes.
John Kerry fired me because we were getting too close to the story here, and a bunch of us, Red McDaniel, and Red wasn't on the committee, but he was very supportive in the background. Perot wasn't on the committee, but he was on, of course, he's not in the Senate, but I, as a former congressman, and I had been over there like 30 times and knew the terrain. I had studied the secret intelligence in Congress and as a Pentagon consultant. And Bob Smith, who was a great patriot, he was a senator from New Hampshire. He was the vice chairman of the committee that Red was talking about in 1992. And Smith hired me and put me on as an intelligence investigator. And what this book is about is all the intelligence that John Kerry and John McCain saw as members of that committee and completely rejected, just mocked it, laughed at it, said there was nothing to any of it. And if you read it, George, and you have read some
yes,
of it,
yes, I have.
It will tear your heart out if you're an American like Americans that you and I know. But these boys here in Washington, this is a whole different world.
Well,
I mean, these
it's
guys,
just like you were saying just a few minutes ago. Here is the murder capital of the world. You got politicos. They don't care about the soldiers or the military.
Couldn't care less.
It's just a crazy atmosphere up there.
I'll tell you something scary. You want to hear something really scary?
What's that?
It's what if, and God forbid that this ever happened to one of our brave soldiers in Iraq, but if they grab some of our guys, and we start to withdraw, and these guys go out and somehow slip out of their prison and put their names down in the sand, okay, and escape an evasion code that are screaming to the satellites, "I'm alive, come get me." John McCain, if he's president, will Photoshop it right out of the sand. He Photoshopped it out of the rice paddies of Vietnam. And left his fellow POWs, he'll do it again. And that's the scary thing.
Yes, it is. In 92, I heard Captain Red McDaniels here at Camp Mabry, a local National Guard camp.
Right.
And he told us he was really optimistic. Well, I waited that next month and watched that committee and what they said, and they whitewashed it and covered it up. And then Kissinger was there just lying.
Yeah, they lie like drugs. They lie like dogs. They don't have any of the compass that keeps the American people. You know, I mean the moral compass, whatever. It's incredible. But McCain and Kerry ran that thing, and they whitewashed it, and we tell it in the book, and they don't say nothing about the book, boy. They don't want to talk about this book. Because it's serious, deadly serious stuff. When Henry Kissinger walks away and leaves 600-700 men in prison and knows it and keeps it covered up until 1992 when we finally got a chance to get to the bottom of it, and along comes John Kerry and John McCain. And who is John McCain's biggest foreign policy advisor right now? Henry Kissinger.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So, oh my goodness.
Well, was there another Assistant Secretary of State, Richard Armitage? Was he there at that hearing also?
Armitage was part of it.
And what was there a third member too? That a third person I think that testified that day that I heard them, and I forget his name.
Yeah, Paul Wolfowitz was part of it.
Okay.
Colin Powell was part of it. They all covered it up because they didn't want a hostage crisis. Okay.
I don't think that's a good enough reason.
Well, I'm sorry. What'd you say?
I don't think that's a good enough reason.
Well, but you see, when you come into Washington, all of a sudden, the things that are important on Main Street in Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Carolina, where I'm from, California, Utah, Texas, the things that are important on Main Street America, suddenly you start looking at things differently. I didn't. Ronald Reagan didn't. Red McDaniel didn't. Ross Perot wouldn't have, and Ron Paul hasn't. Okay.
Well, that's
but
who we support around here. That's
yeah,
sure.
These guys start looking at the greater good, they call it. Okay. And what's best for the country? Well, what's best for the country is to get these brave men who have endured 30 plus years of captivity in Indochina home and get them down there to that Vietnam Veterans Memorial and let them run their finger along their name. Now, you talk about a welcome home party and something good for America, George.
Yeah, okay, we've got to cut out a second. You know, you're exactly right. We'll be right back. I've got a little story to tell you about the Vietnam Veteran Memorial. Just... Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, your host. Charlotte Littlefield Brown is still on vacation. Welcome back, Bill Hendon.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be with you, George.
So, Charlotte Littlefield Brown in November, we went up there on Veterans Day. It was on a Sunday, brilliant, bright, shining in Washington, D.C., right in front of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, and did a two-hour program. We interviewed people sitting there. They were widows. They were Vietnam vets. And we really had a very spiritual experience. There were squads of people dressed up in their colors marching up and down those trails.
Sure.
So the quick point I wanted to make was that we have a lot of good American people that care about this country and so forth. But that Washington D.C. bunch, like you said just a few minutes ago, is totally out of touch. Would you not agree?
They're rotten to the core. And I'll tell you something, I don't mean to be crude at all, but what this town needs is a great big enema, okay?
Okay.
And they may get it this fall with this guy, Barack Obama. Now, I'm not for Obama, I'm a Republican, but people are so sick of Colin Powell going before the United Nations and lying like a dog, lying on the front porch, showing them these pictures of these fake things and sending us to war. I don't know. My goodness gracious, Paul Wolfowitz, Armitage, all those boys. It's the same crowd that left these prisoners, Henry Kissinger, all of them, and they're still around. And it's just disgraceful what's going on here. And if it takes Obama to clean this crowd out as a Republican, but first as an American, I say, let's do it. I mean that. This is a shameful situation.
What I see in Obama, see, if you look at his Michelle, his wife, and so forth, they're tied back to the CFR machine out of New York. See, she's
oh, listen, man.
So
I
mean, but it looks like to me that he's putting out the carrots out there for the liberal Democrats and the collectivists, right? But on the main international New World Order stuff, he's right in line with them. That's what it looks like to me.
It scares you to death. At least if you're from the Great Smokies.
Like what you're saying is there'll be a change, but I don't know on the big things if there's going to be much change. See.
Well, I wish we had Ron Paul, but we don't. Okay.
Yeah,
but,
we really worked hard for him, and we're still supporting him. You know.
Well, people are so disgusted, and this is when you get a big change. The last one we had was they were so disgusted at Carter, that they elected Ronald Reagan, me, and a whole bunch of people, and we did good. I hope whoever gets elected this time will do good. But you were talking about being at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial.
Yes, sir.
Okay. How about trying on this? Reading from U.S. intelligence reports, okay? Dominic Spinelli, David Armstrong. These are all names on the wall. Billy Milner, Jackson, Captain Patrick, Howard Schmidt, Todd Melton, Jim Fuller, Joe Bush, Birch, Eddie Mercer, Tommy Hart, Morgan Donahue, Howard Stevenson. I could keep reading. These men's names are on that wall, George, where you were. And it says they're missing or they're dead. But the intelligence reports, and we talk about these men, these brave men in this book, the intelligence says they're still alive. A guy named Pete Mathis puts down his code on 5 June 1992. His name is on the wall. His code is in a prison yard in North Vietnam in 1992. A guy named Mick Sarex was on BAT 20. That movie, the Danny Glover.
I'm not familiar with it.
Well, anyway, it was Bat 52 or whatever it was. It was an airplane movie about the Vietnam War, these guys that got shot down. But anyway, this guy's name, Sarex, is in the field outside the prison in June 92. Well, you look at that satellite image, and then you look at his name on the wall, and the American people, if they knew that this man had to be alive in 1992, they would rise up, but the government doesn't want to tell them. McCain doesn't want to tell them. Kerry doesn't want to tell them. And this book, we talk about it. And it's really something to go to that wall, as you did, having read the intelligence and see these men's names that are showing up in the intelligence as alive. And I want to get them back and let them go down there and maybe put gold in the letters of their name, or run their hand by them, or something.
That would be a fine tribute to do something special.
Tell
for those
me
men.
About it. You
yes, I can understand and agree with that.
That'd be good for America. It wouldn't be good for these people in Washington who have left them.
We need to heal this and to resolve this. You know what I mean? We need to get those men home. And John Holland has stood up several times at Ron Paul rallies, and he's expressed those sentiments. He said, we need to bring these people home now, you know?
Tom Holland's a great patriot. He served, I think, in three wars.
Yes, World War II, Korean War, and Vietnam.
He's done more for this country than most people ever dream of, and what a great America. Yeah.
But now what you portray in the book is that after this Caprat Weinberger, pronouncement, and then they reversed their policies, and what did DIA made a concerted, intentional effort to discredit intelligence coming out of there?
Hey, let me tell you something. Go to www.enormouscrime.com and click on Chapter 23, and there's 15 intelligence reports in there. And look and read for your listeners who are interested.
Yes, sir.
At what the DIA does to these stories. In other words, somebody comes out, a refugee or somebody, and reports, I saw X number of American prisoners at a certain point at a certain time. All right. And look at what DIA says happened. They say that they saw 12-year-old Amerasian buffalo boys, these kids that ride around on the buffaloes in the field. They said that they saw Russian tourists, big old fat Russian women. I mean, they have made – it is – well, I tell you what it is, George. It's an enormous crime what this government has done to this intelligence. And they learned that they could get away with it. And that's why Powell and Armitage and Wolfowitz and all the rest of them, got away with sending our boys and women, brave as they are, to Iraq for no earthly reason. A totally trumped up, unnecessary war. They should have gone to Afghanistan and killed every one of those people that were behind the 9/11 attack. But they can't. They decided they wanted to go to war. So what did they do? They concocted this intelligence, massaged it, did whatever you want to call it, and the only way they got away with it was the mainstream press was behind them. But the mainstream press was behind them when they covered up the intelligence out of Indochina. Same people, same press, same result. In this case, hundreds, several hundred, no question, American prisoners still alive right now in Indochina prison. And what a tragedy. But they got away with it, and they got real proud and bold and aggressive and said, okay, here's what we'll do. We got away with that. We'll get away with this Iraq deal. And they did.
Well, I tell you, I had Vincent Bugliosi, he testified up there recently in Congress, and he said it like it was. I mean, he nailed it, you know, on that. But we've got to take another break here, and we'll come back for our final segment this hour. Then during the second hour, you want to open up the phones and take some calls on this?
Sure, if you got
okay.
time.
Yeah, we've got another hour and about 10 minutes here. Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm your host, George Bugger. Welcome back, Bill Hendon.
Thank you, George.
Okay, we've got a call-in line, 1-800-259-9231. Again, our lines are open, 1-800-259-9231. Give us a call if you have a question for Bill Hendon or some kind of a statement. So what we have here is it is enormous crime. Is it going to, in 92, there was an opportunity, in your opinion, to right this wrong or at least begin a process, and what happened then?
John McCain and John Kerry said it was all false. There was nothing to it. The men putting their names down in the prison yards and in the rice paddies and in the fields and signaling, begging the satellites to tell people, come get us, we're still alive. They said that was all false. They said it. I'm sorry. It was shadows on the ground. It was some little boy putting it down off an envelope. Again, look at the cover of our book. Enormous crime. An enormous crime. Just look at the cover, and that's the satellite image. It's USA with this huge. It's called a walking K. It is an escape and evasion code known only to the pilots that it was given to. Before they left their base, the United States government sent them into combat and told them, if you're shot down, put down this walking K and we'll come get you. Now, they put it down, and this huge USA right above it in this rice paddy, and John McCain says in his memoir, Worth the Fighting For, that it was copied off of an envelope that a young boy in Laos got from some guy in America. I mean, that is how absurd this whole thing is. And radio intercepts, George. How in the world, if you intercept a radio transmission by the enemy, where he says, I am moving X number of American prisoners from the airport at such and such a place to another place, and the plane will land at the airport at 12:30 on the 28th of December, 1980, to pick them up. And we monitor an airplane flying into this airport, very remote airport, and then leaving. All right? How can you say that there weren't Americans on that plane? The intercepted radio transmission of the communists said, we're sending the plane to pick up the American prisoners, have them at the airport at 12:30 on the 28th. Now, McCain says there's nothing to any of that. And there were radio transmissions all over Laos, which is the little country west of Vietnam, talking about moving maybe 75, 100 Americans at least, just the radio intercepts. And all these people coming out of there saying, we saw them, the satellites picking up these guys, begging for deliverance, begging to be rescued, and nothing. It's all in the book. I'm not trying to sell the book, George. You know that. But it's all in there, and it's all on our
website. It's an excellent book, Bill.
Sir?
It's an excellent book.
Well, you're nice to say so.
I encourage everyone listening out there to go down and buy this book.
Well, I go to the library at least and read it. And, oh, man, what these men have endured. And, look, 1992 was a long time ago. But the reports are still coming into the Pentagon today of these men being alive. And the Pentagon is doing absolutely nothing about it.
Well, you know what's important about this book is it not only exposes, you know, the problem of the POW still there, but it educates people and makes them more street smart about the real politics in Washington, D.C.
It's a disgrace. It is a national calamity.
It is a disgrace for them to abandon and ignore these men for everything that they did and sacrificed over there.
They take the easy way out every time.
Okay, we got Clarence from Oklahoma City. What is your question for Bill Hendon? You're live on The Secret Truth.
Yes, I just discovered your show tonight, and I've been listening, and it's been a great program.
Thank you.
Because this is something that needs to be known by the American people. And the mainstream media is not going to make a peep about this and haven't, since it happened.
They're not going to touch it, Clarence. They're not going to touch it. Thank you for calling in. You got any ideas?
I wish I did. I served during Vietnam. I was in the Air Force during Vietnam, but I was in Germany.
Right.
I was right there at the tail end of the war.
Well, you could have been any one of these names that I just read off a few minutes ago that we read in the intelligence reports. These guys really, really, they got abandoned. They got abandoned by America's leaders it's a terrible story. But
it's something that, you know, I don't know how you could get it out to the American people. I mean, you could make a movie, you could make a DVD, but, you know, the American people, they're asleep right now.
You know what I think, Clarence? I think there's so many guys over there who are in prison. I think over in Laos, which is more of a jungle situation than Vietnam, in Vietnam they got them in these very sophisticated underground prisons, and it's really scary when you read about. I mean, they've even got slats in the ceiling or in the top of the caves where they open the slats and let the guys have their sun bath so they won't get sick.
Yeah.
I mean, but over in Laos, it's more like jungle and caves and stuff like that. Somebody's going to get out of there. There's too many of them in there, and somebody's going to come up across that Mekong River, maybe weighing 100 pounds, maybe 90, maybe 80, no teeth, and he's going to say, hey, where you been, boys? I'm back. And at that point in time, John McCain and John Kerry and Colin Powell, they head for the tall grass.
That's it.
Okay.
Be heading for the border.
Right. Clarence, thank you for your call from Oklahoma. Rick from Colorado, what is your question for Bill Hendon?
Hey, hello. Am I on?
Yes. Rick, you're live on The Secret Truth.
You know, I think about these feds and D.C. and all this, and, I mean, are they even in America? I mean, that's District of Columbia. What's up with that?
Rick, it's hard to believe, but I was trying to explain it earlier. Main Street values, the things that hold this country, churches, community, family, schools, community schools, local schools, all these things that hold us together. When they come up here, they get inside the beltway, you know, the big highway that goes around Washington, and it just goes all to pieces. And they start looking at the greater good, if you will. And
the greater good of their pocketbook.
I guess. But it things change here. Ronald Reagan didn't change. I didn't change. But most of them do. And it's the saddest thing. And like I said, and I'm not trying to be crude, but this town needs a real big enema. And it's just a shame, as far as I'm concerned, that it won't get it from John McCain, and may end up because he wouldn't do it. He's part of the problem. But it the other guy, he might. I don't know. I pray for my country. I'm worried about our country. It's gotten so bad here that the American people are demanding a change, and we may get a terrible change, but we're going to get one.
Yeah, Rick, what would your suggestions be? Where do you think we should go from here?
My question is does D.C. even have jurisdiction over United America, I should say?
Well, the Congress does, and the President does. The government of the District of Columbia is just bonkers. It's just off the wall. But not much more off the wall than the U.S. Senate, the U.S. Congress, and the executive branch. I mean, look, I'm a Republican, okay? I came up here with Reagan, proud to be here. But look what Bush has done to our country. Let's just be honest. Look what has happened to our once proud military and our country over the last 4 or 5 years, or 6 years, whatever it's been.
Yeah, Rick, I think you're coming more from a states' rights type of viewpoint. Is that what you're insinuating?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, is that they don't even have jurisdiction over us.
I know. These are some of the issues that are causing this problem that George W. and all this latest administration is causing a lot of debate, and it's good for America.
I hope the outcome's good for America, but I pray for this country.
But we're debating it right now, trying to make a difference. So we've got to leave here for the top of the hour break, which is about a 6-minute break. But thank you very much, Rick, from Colorado, for your questions and your input.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Rick. Call us back again. Wait, we've got to leave right now. We'll be right back.